Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be the Vessel podcast. My name is Daniel, and I play the roles of channeler and intuitive psychologist, aiming to bridge all aspects of the healing arts while navigating my return journey to the stars. I interview those journeying through all aspects of healing, whether that be from more traditional Western frames or from a more spiritual or spirit-based connection. What I always find is that everyone is a bridge between worlds, a universe unto themselves, and a unique light that shines brightly for the collective. If you like what you hear and are interested in more of my offerings, consider joining the Be the Vessel community at patreon.com/DrDanielAtkins, where you will find various unique offerings, bonus content, and podcasts such as my own channeled information and the new Be the Vessel healing series. May you find what you're looking for and remember the light within. Russ Curtis, PhD, is a professor of counseling at Western Carolina University and a licensed clinical mental health counselor. He teaches courses in mental health assessment, theories and techniques, integrated care, positive psychotherapy, and counseling supervision. Although grateful for what he's learned about traditional behavioral philosophy and techniques, he increasingly felt the field's understanding of health and wellness was incomplete. As such, Russ began exploring alternative forms of treatment, including Ayurveda, energy healing, mindfulness, and meditation. Russ credits his grandmom and mom for encouraging his interest in near-death experiences, UFOs, star seeds, alternative therapy, and the freedom to question traditional systems and ideology. I reached out to Russ on a whim after discovering his YouTube channel, which you can find in the show notes of this episode, while exploring starseed origins and specifically the Pleiadian Collective, which we will get into a bit of in this conversation. I immediately felt a kinship with Russ and his channel based on how he navigates his professional clinical identity as a professor at an accredited university and his interest in otherworldly ideas, origins, and exploration that span beyond the limitations of a Western frame. I hope you enjoy this episode with Russ Curtis as much as I did, and may it be an invitation, a gift, and a medicine to explore beyond your own limitations and discover a bit more of who you really are, where you really come from, and what your mission is while you're here. Hi, Russ. Thanks so much for being here and welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, Daniel. It's good to be here.
I'm really excited for this connection in more ways than one, because I already sense that we'll be connecting outside of this episode as well. But the initial reason I was really guided to reach out to you, just I don't watch like a ton of social media stuff. But I have been poking around YouTube a little bit, particularly for the brand of spirituality that has been ever unfolding for me. And as I recently stepped into this new channeling experience and have been connecting to this information regarding the Pleiadian Collective, which is, you know, it's out there. It's out there for many.
I'm into it.
Yeah, you're into it, and you can probably fill me in more about it than I know. What I know is, frankly, from just my own inner guidance, which I trust, but, you know, it's an ever-evolving language and understanding. I think I just typed in Pleiadian Collective just to see what other people were doing with that source of information or that origin story, which was not the first time I'd heard it. I actually had heard in the past, likely before I was more out of the spiritual closet in this way, that I was a Pleiadian and that my mother was, you know, things had sort of aligned probably synchronistically in the past, but I didn't give it much thought. But it became one of the things that started coming through. It's not the only thing. There's other sources of consciousness, other information, but that was one. And immediately, one of your videos popped up, and the most interesting thing for me, because, you know, people who talk about these kinds of things can have a particular style, a particular look. I live in LA, so I connect with some of these individuals. There may be a lot of crystals involved and other sorts of things.
Which I'm holding right now.
Yeah, which you're holding, and I am too, actually, which I love. But for those who won't be able to see you, I mean, I mentioned this to you before we started. Like, so you're you have a doctorate in clinical counseling, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and I do. It's counselor education and supervision. I do want to just be clear that I'm not a psychologist.
Okay.
So yeah. It's a PhD in counseling. Yeah.
Yeah, and mental health counselor. Do you go by that?
Yeah, licensed clinical mental health counselor.
Okay. Yeah. So you're a mental health counselor, and I also have a lot of familiarity with that world, that being my background in psychology. And you look a lot like a mental health counselor. Like, you look, your voice is very teacherly, it's gentle. Like I just said to you, you could have been one of my grad school professors, and yet you're using that. It's like I was in a grad school class learning about aliens. So it's, I mean, to be clear, you have other very helpful videos about more classical and traditional forms of therapy and counseling and diagnoses and things. But the first thing that popped up for me was just you're using that same style and very welcoming. It felt very balanced and neutral, your perspective. Like, you were just really exploring the topic for other people. You weren't trying to convince anyone of anything. You weren't pushing some agenda. It really just felt like, hey, these things are out there and maybe they will support the overall healing arts or overall collective in some way.
Yeah.
So that just really struck me. And I was like, I just got to reach out to this guy. And as I also said to you, because I really see myself as a bridge between worlds, on one level, we could say the spiritual realm and the earthly realm, but in another way, you know, Western psychology and different spiritual modalities. And just because I feel, and I'm sure you do too, that we are stepping into this new paradigm of healing in addition to other areas of life that can just become more integrative, and yes, that our awareness of what else is out there that may have always been there supporting us in some way, but maybe our sciences can catch up in some way to unearth that, unfold it, and bring it into the light. So that is why I reached out and why I'm so glad you said yes. And before we jump right into all the that fun stuff, I'd actually just like to begin with a question about how you were first guided to counseling in the first place and what resonated with you about the field.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, and there's a lot we could say. It's so rich. But let's see. Well, first of all, I do want to say I just felt very encouraged by my grandmom and my mom in particular to just be open and to question systems. And even as a kid, when I was crawling, there would be books about UFOs. So I was like, wow, my mom's read this. And I was just fascinated. And so growing up, I was, and you know, I never felt like this was home. I never felt like I belonged here. This always felt like a kind of a strange place, beautiful place, particularly the ocean. And now I'm in the
Earth mountains. You are referring to, I believe.
Yes. Earth. Yeah. No, I was brought up in a loving, caring home, and I'm very grateful for that. Not that we didn't have issues, but yeah. But then, let's see, I had no idea what I wanted to do after high school. My dad advised me, and I think it was very wise. He was like, man, if you don't have any idea, major in business, because you always need to know how the business world works and finance and all that. And so I did that, and I went into banking immediately after, and man, that was not the field for me, although the people were amazing, and I learned a lot, but I am and I think I've heard you say this too, I am intuitive and, for me, kind of scatterbrained. I am not detail-oriented. I am not extroverted. I'm very introverted, and maybe even on the loner side. And so being in retail banking, where the two best attributes you can have is being extroverted and detail-oriented, I just didn't have that. But I should mention this, when I was working on my undergraduate degree at NC State University in business, I used all my electives for psychology classes. And I could have finished with two degrees, but I was like, nope, I would rather use those electives for those. And so I got out, and about a year after being in a bank management training program, I was like, man, it's unfulfilling. And so I went back into my, was it a year? I was 4 years in the bank. Yeah. Yeah. It was about a year after I applied to the counseling program at UNC Charlotte and got accepted. And I was just doing it with absolutely no direction as to this is going to be a career path. It was literally like, I know banking's not for me. And I love those classes I took at State. So I started working on that. And then my first practicum, I think I had, I was like, oh, yeah, I love this. This is for me. I was in mental health for about 2 years and then started realizing, ooh, I really like the macro. I love the research. I love that piece of it. And so that's when I applied to the doctoral program at UNC Greensboro, got accepted into that. And 4 years later, I was, you know, in a faculty position. Now, I have always been, and now I don't even call it anxiety much, but I've always experienced just what I'd say is hypersensitivity to light, noise, energy, and so forth. And I was getting no relief from that, from the mental health professionals or the medical professionals. But again, I was very pleased with the folks I was working with. They, for the most part, all of them were very kind and caring and wanted to help. And that's when I started reaching out, and because it really was getting to more of a functioning standpoint, particularly as a professor, I was like, wow, I'm having a difficult time standing in front of class. And, you know, and so that's where I was like, man, I really was just kind of reaching for what's beyond and what can help with this. And I know the very first person I went to, this was over 20 years ago, and I had read her book. It was, all the synchronicities are just beyond what we have time for today. But I did finally get to see this person after being a year and a half on the wait list. And I know the first thing she said after we did the whole, hey, let's protect with light, only bring forth stuff of its highest good, all that good stuff. And the first thing she said to me is like, well, Russ, the first thing I need to tell you is you're not from here. This isn't your
home. Okay, wait. So just back up for a second. Who was this person?
Should I say her the name?
If it's appropriate.
You know, she's a public figure and she's awesome. It's Gloria Karpinski.
Okay, yeah, I'm not familiar with that. But and what kind of how did she identify as a healer or?
You know, she's an intuitive.
Okay.
Cool. And she wrote the book. She's got a couple books and I hate to say this, but I think the title was like Where Two Worlds Meet or something like that. If you look up Gloria Karpinski, you'll find her book.
Yeah.
A friend gave me this prior. And it was one of these books, and I'm sure you've had these too, that just blew me away. It was like, Oh my God, you're tying in all astrological to like the basic behavioral health.
Well, and what I feel is that, you know, and I just watched, you know, a recent video you put up. What was it called? The Shaktipat. Shaktipat.
Yeah.
Like, because I'll ask you about that later. Like, I just, the way you just hit at, and we'll explain that later for people listening, but I just love the way you were talking about how the future of education or dissemination of information might come through. And it relates to something I feel. You mentioned the word synchronicities, you know, maybe you're familiar with Celestine prophecy. And I just feel that at our time of readiness, right? Vibrational frequency, you know, it calls things in. So a particular book, a particular podcast, a particular person, a particular place, right? We call
absolutely.
Spirit works through the person or thing to come to us. And so Gloria came to you in divine timing, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And honestly, when I look at my life, even as close as yesterday, but all the way through childhood, I just think those things have happened throughout. Is and even the really hard stuff, I'm like, oh, thank God I experienced that.
Yeah,
that taught me so much, you know. So it's like, it's hard to say that when you're in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, you're not saying that, you're not expressing all the gratitude during it, but in retrospect,
Yeah, and I can really say, but that was definitely one, and she just got me thinking about it, and it was also really practical. I mean, you know, she was just very practical, but she's the one that got me like, oh. But because when she said, oh, you're not from here, I was like, but interestingly enough, it was like, oh.
Did you know what she meant initially?
No, I did not. But I fully identified with it. It was kind of like, I don't know what you're talking about. But at the same point, this has never felt like home.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be clear, again, she was saying you're not from here, the planet.
Right.
Essentially. Right. You know, in the human form, yes, but originally, I assume.
That's what she was talking about, is kind of cosmic origin, I think.
Yeah.
And we didn't go into great detail because I was very focused on help me with this anxiety. And, she did. But she was like, it's really helpful for me to kind of know background and all that. So that's where she went.
You said she didn't identify any further than that, sort of the
No, she did not. But it was later, and this is where probably some synchronicities happened, and I started hearing about, like, you know, star seeds and Palladians and stuff. But then I went to another intuitive. This was like 15 years later. And she did say, it was kind of funny too. It's always like at the very beginning after we do the initial, you know, protection and blessing. And she was like, why are the Palladians here? And she goes, oh, they're your family.
She goes, wow.
That answers that.
so just to maybe help clarify for me, even more than maybe the audience, but how would you even attempt to explain what the Pleiadians are, or us, or a star seed?
Yeah. Okay. And see, to me, this is just not strange. It's like we all have origins, you know. We all have origins, and I do realize a lot of people are like, "Well, yeah, I was up in heaven petting a llama by a waterfall, and then I decided to come down here or something." I'm like, "Okay, but you have an origin. You have an origin story that you created." And so for me, that's all it is that there is an origin and it's cosmic. I was not of Earth. And so for me, I do realize it can sound strange to folks, but for me, it's like, well, where were you?
Right.
Before birth, where were you?
and that's the thing is, you know, and I'll get into my story a little bit, even though, you know, the listeners of this podcast are probably tired of me talking about myself because I do it all the time, but it'll be more for you because there's just so much I resonate with in your story. And I just realized I was always probably open to these kinds of things. Like it wasn't, it was just like, you in the sense that so you likely don't even know that much about me or my story or the people that I interview on this podcast, but a lot of it is related to mind body experiences, like pain, how pain and things manifest in the body and how that has other origins. So just you describing some of that invitation with the sensitivity and how things were manifesting in the, you know, and that you know, and the anxiety, which is you know, mind and body as well, but I had my own experience with that, which was a deep invitation for me to seek out other kinds of healing, you know, because I was getting trained in psychology. I'd been in therapy. There were a lot of things that I was learning about the nervous system, about, you know, diagnoses, about trauma. Although I think it was interesting, I would say, as big a buzzword as trauma is, I have almost come to learn more about trauma while exploring other modalities outside of the psychoanalytic frame and stuff that I trained in. And part of that was, just like you, I didn't know what I believed, but I was desperate. And my mother, too, invited me to connect with some alternative healers who called themselves lots of different things, shamans, intuitives, clairvoyants. And I heard language similar to you that I didn't know if I believed it, but it resonated in my body. I just felt like held and safe in my body. And I never really had a ton of anxiety, ton of fear for most of my life.
Yeah.
And never felt super good being here, so to speak. And those experiences, I just couldn't deny it because it all my symptoms were going away, you know, and it was a long journey. It ebbed and flowed, but because I also held tightly to the clinical identity while I was going, I wasn't immediately jumping ship and be like, yeah, great, I'm into this now. It was
me
like,
either. Yeah.
It was a little bit of pulling teeth because I had to get to where the invitation had to get to the point where I was almost falling asleep in sessions and still getting sick all the time. But I resonate so much with the idea that, like, it, even in the beginning, it didn't, maybe it sounded strange, but it didn't feel strange to you. It actually felt good and supportive and maybe validating in some way. The way that for some, receiving some kind of label or diagnosis might feel validating, even though I think ultimately those can be quite limiting. But this felt like, I can make sense of that. Like, what if essentially we are open to the idea that we're not only these physical creatures, that certainly certainly we're having a human experience. Certainly we're having a physical experience, but absolutely. maybe that's not all of us, because if you really just invite someone to explore, like, what are you? What are you? Are you your body? Are you, you know, and if you just go back in that very, you know, direct invitation, like, where do you end up? You know, it seems like there's a place that we can't touch, see, smell, whatever. And we can use, people can use all kinds of language, soul, et cetera, frequency, consciousness, dimensional planes, but all that is still just like anything else. It's an attempt at grasping something that we can't yet fully understand, but can be open to. And it sounds right. like this was just an invitation for you to explore that.
Absolutely. And like you say, it was kind of normalizing, and it validated kind of that sense of, yeah, this doesn't feel like home. I've always felt a little misplaced in the world, and I've done my best. We are on a human experience. And so I haven't really gotten into labels that much. I mean, they use the term Palladian. It kind of makes sense. And, you know, the way I look at that is, and first of all, I think there's been a lot of mixing of cosmic origins.
Well, that's what I feel too, is that we're not necessarily just one thing.
No, and I don't feel that either. So when I think about, I will say this, I was looking through an old photo album the other day, and I saw my mom when she was a child, and just snow white hair, and you know, these blue eyes, and I was like, oh, okay, I bet.
Because to clarify, because you're referencing, I think, some of the purported characteristics of the Pleiadian type, right?
Yeah. And I know on my YouTube channel, people will get kind of angry with that, or at least in their comments, like, hey, this can't. And I'm quick to say, no, you could be any race or ethnicity. And first of all, why do you gravitate towards this? It may be Lyrian or, you know, Anunnaki or something like that. Or drop the labels. You came from somewhere. So that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, and what I recognize about my own experience is because I received a lot of psychiatric diagnoses as a kid. I struggled a lot. You know, everything that we typically give to kids, ADHD diagnosis, OCD, depression, anxiety, like I got it all because I had it all, but it wasn't the sort, you know, those labels didn't provide any clarity as to the source of things, you know, I would say trauma and then, you know, and just the, you know, other kinds of essential unfoldings that were playing out. And so I was never really into labels. And then, you know, I saw myself on the spectrum of getting free of labels was really kind of, you know, provided me that sense of safety, of possibility, of who am I and how can I discover more of what it's like to be here. And so that carried forth as I went through the clinical training, and it's very diagnostic heavy, and I did assessment, and I, you know, it just, I did it. I played the game, and I was pretty good at it. I was a pretty good conceptualizer, but that part of me never went away. In fact, it only got more glaring as I saw sort of the processes of how these labels, and to be clear, I was at places, I was working at places that were very, along the spectrum, were really well-intentioned and were not just, you know, handing out labels. Like, they were very thoughtful. It was really the best places I could have been, you know, very attachment-oriented and really wanting to understand the person. But at the end of the day, still playing this game because that was the frame, that was the insurance model, that was, you know, the things they were beholden to. And that was just one of the things I was like, I've just had enough of this. This is not really in alignment for me. And yet what I see then as I left is we can be quick to replace one form of categorization with another, right? So I was, you know, as I'm starting to learn about these things and then meeting people more on their own different kinds of spiritual paths, I'll be like, oh, what are you? I'm this, you know, and what you see is it can play out the same game, which is because we want to feel validated. We want to feel understood. And so if we weren't feeling understood by a traditional psychiatric diagnostic model, we may want to gravitate toward labels in the spiritual realm, but ultimately we can see that may play out the same forms of limitation or just keep us. It can be really exciting and interesting, but just in the service of staying open to, like, you know, that larger question of who am I can, and to stay open to the possibilities can be a more fulfilling way.
I love that. I love that. And I think the openness and the space is what I try to convey to students is, even though we've talked about starseeds already, is you're right. And, you know, I live in the Asheville area. I'm not in Asheville proper, but this is a woo town.
I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's beautiful. And I love it. And I think it really is a power spot. If that exists, it's a power spot of good energy and so forth. But I have seen where people can go kind of overboard with the woo away from traditional. And I think being a first generation college student, having a Libra moon, even though I'm a Sun Pisces, I think there is that whole balance piece of me. And so I've got that Pisces where I'm never quite here.
I'm a Pisces moon.
Are you?
Moon. Yeah. I'm out there. Let's just say that.
Yeah. But I think, and it has been, and if I have a mission here, and I guess I do, it is to kind of like help kind of bridge the traditional and the practical, and kind of maybe move us a step closer to understanding that it's even broader than we thought. And so that's why, no, I don't spend a lot of time studying about particular starseeds or class. I'm fascinated by it. So when it comes in my way, I love learning about it and being able to share it. I am about being open. And I love that, like, the openness. We've got very limited ways of measuring this, but if you use the five-factor model, that's really the only personality factor that correlates with intelligence. And again, that's even limited on how we measure.
I've heard that, actually.
But what I do think is that staying open, being spacious, and the most powerful thing we can do for clients is being curious. It's healing to have somebody sitting across from you curious about who you are without any agenda. I don't even like the term treatment plan anymore. That's so medical model. It's so, I know what's best for you. Even when we call it collaborative, I'm like, there comes a time, and it feels like you've already experienced this, where it does feel like the curtain is pulled and it's like, why do we even talk about this anymore? How is this, where did we get these belief systems? So that's definitely where I am here in the mid 50s. And so I'm trying, you know, wisely, because we have an accrediting body in our program and we've got to cover standards and so forth. But I like to give students permission to be able to question things. And, you know, I haven't seen a client in over a year. I do see my job as a lot more macro and in really helping kind of like, just gently fostering some movement of the occupation in our students. I can tell you this. I mean, we get great students at my school. People love this area and love the program. But I have found that by and large, most of them are really excited to be given the permission to be who they are and be open with all the intersections of in our lives. And so I haven't found too much kickback. I know one person wrote me a thank you note after they graduated and said, the main things I remember about your classes were openness to chakras and UFOs.
That's what I would have remembered the most.
And I really don't talk a lot about it, but I do when I teach theories and techniques. I have a section on Ayurvedic healing where I do talk about the chakras, and I present it as a theory. Hey, we've talked about Freud, so certainly we can entertain this as well. And Freud's stuff doesn't even really have a lot of research backing it
right.
up. And
yeah, so, yeah, 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 yeah. It, you know, there's dubious things we're already talking about. So
exactly. Yeah, I think they've appreciated that kind of balance and practicality to it.
There's so much I love about that. Firstly, you for sure have a mission, and I feel our missions are aligned in some way.
Yeah.
But why I was so drawn to you, I think, in the first place is because, yeah, you're experiencing some of the perceived limitations about how we've done things, and yet you're still in some ways working from within a system. And that's you know, I feel like most things, it's a spectrum. People can serve from within, right? Or right. or serve from without. And it just became very clear to me that like I was a guy that needed to be out. Like it's just in my nature. Like we could call it, you know, the shadow side could be my trauma, but the light side could be my nature that like I am here to just do things my way a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was feeling really restricted. And so I needed, and it just became clear as I was talking about the things I was talking about at my clinic, you know, they were like, yeah, but I don't think you could work here anymore, basically, was the message. And I needed that because part of my ego, you know, the fearful ego was wanting the safety of like, maybe I'll do both. I'll have one foot in each pod. I'll start doing my own work. But my work was so rapidly changing and I was so rapidly changing that I really feel spirit. I have no ill will toward, you know, to my supervisors and stuff. I really feel because this was right after I'd slaved away to pass a licensing exam. I feel spirit came right through and was like, no, you're done. Like you need to be, you can't, you're not staying here because of safety. Like trust all will be provided. You know, I didn't have any clients when I left. I didn't have anything, but it was a clean break because if I stayed, it would have just only gotten messier. And I think the invitation only would have gotten stronger.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it sounds like, I mean, I can only imagine it's so amazing. I would have loved, you know, to have you as a professor and to have that. And I love what you said about openness. It's not the first time I've heard that, but it makes so much sense to me because I really feel, well, and this is also from some other channelers that I listen to, which would say things like, you know, it's not the human mind's job to know, really. It's the human mind's job to perceive. It's, yes. You know, it perceive what the brain is translating from other realms, from the higher mind, from, you know, when we start to try and know with the ego mind, that's when we get ourselves into so much trouble and so much frustration and so much disappointment because we're just pulling these beliefs in some ways out of the air and then it gets proven wrong and we hold on to it anyway or whatever. So that openness and curiosity and non-judgment, which I just feel so much from you, there's so much theory and complexity that can be applied to healing, but in many ways, just having that someone who is really open in mind, open in heart, it can go a long way on the healing journey. Because I feel, you know, people, so much of the journey is discovering what you have within you. You don't necessarily need a ton of people to tell you things about you. You mostly need people to invite you to discover what is there for you when you're ready to start to uncover it. So people who can provide that gentle invitation can often be so much more rich than someone who's going to try to explain your life to you. But one thing I also wanted to ask is, how much permission you feel you have being within, you know, more traditional institution.
I just resonate with so much of what you said. And I'm at my best as a teacher when I can, like, I'm helping you remember. And I know we've seen all that. Yeah. Helping you.
No, I love that. I love the phrase of remembering.
Yeah. And if I can be of help, that's my goal. And so when I think of classes, I think of with the assignments, because I do have to balance that practice of standards we have to meet. I always kind of tell students, hey, this is the buffet that I've set up. And based on your developmental level, your readiness, your life circumstances, you'll get what you need from each of these. And here's what I will say about my university is that we are a regional comprehensive university. So we're not a university research one. We're not a research one. And I think that's given me a lot of freedom. So I think this is another area through synchronicity, because we were told in the doctoral program, man, you need to go where you get that first job. It could be in California, it could be in Arkansas, it could be wherever. And the fact that I came here to Western, that was open, we're an hour away from the Cherokee Reservation. And I have always felt freedom. And creative freedom there. And I think I knew early on in my banking days, and I stay true to this, is that I don't want to move up the ranks in terms of even being program chair or a dean or anything like that. I learned early in banking that I don't like managing others. In fact, I don't even like the term. I like waking up knowing that I've got even within the confines, I've got creative freedom. So, you know, to answer your question, I think I'm in a university that allows me flexibility. And I will say, however, that our accrediting body has become even more stringent. We just got through. That's why I was like, I was so excited to see you, because the first part of the week was related to all that. And it is like, oh my gosh, because I do a view, like I like guidelines. I'm not crazy about standards.
Yeah.
And I like academic freedom because I feel like I was born to do this. So give me the freedom. I was born to do this. And but anyway, the university itself, I still feel, even within the confines, I've got freedom. Yeah.
I mean, you clearly are a teacher. I will also say, like, you know, I feel I have a lot to give with my voice and the various ways that I show up for people and stepping into more groups, because I felt my calling was to, you know, I still like working individually with people, but the message became like, yep, but it's going to be more people. And so, you know, stay open to that. And that's been evolving for me. But I taught a course through Synchronicity. I was invited to teach a course at my grad school, the grad school I went to in Chicago. And it needed to be open enough for me because yeah. I just wasn't going to be able to keep it all in the box. And so it was group therapy. It was a lot based in Irvin Yalom's work, which was good because it was good for me because, you know, Yalom's pretty, he's open, he's poetic. And there was looseness within the frame. And I was very upfront with, you know, the people that were hiring me. I was like, you know, look, I'm going to have to do things a certain way. And to be honest, they were kind of in a desperate position. They were like, well, we kind of need someone. So you have a side D. Great. And you know, they allowed me to do it. And I added in some stuff. Now, I wasn't, you know, it wasn't going so far out of the box, but just the way that I was speaking at the time was I was acknowledging to the students that, like, look, guys, I do things a little differently now. It has more of a spiritual quality and things like that. What I found is that it was challenging for me, actually, because I hadn't had the practice or even necessarily the interest or the natural ability to, even though I see myself as a bridge, to bridge in the way that, let's say, you do within the structure of what was going to be expected. You know, I'm grading all these students. A lot of times it's their, you know, it's their first experience with, you know, group therapy. And I might just be going off on tangents and like, I want to make sure I'm doing the students a service here. And the intuitive messaging for me was like, yeah, that was a cool experience, but you're not necessarily meant to be a teacher in that way. And that to have the ultimate freedom to quote unquote teach in maybe more of the I don't even know performance or artistic way that I continue to show up in the world was more aligned for me. But it does seem to be a gift of yours to be able to flow and it seems to feel free enough within that modality.
It does. And, you know, I mean, Daniel, I appreciate your courage. I appreciate your courage to, and it may have felt like, oh, I don't have a choice. I've got to go and venture out. And without you, the profession doesn't really advance. So we need more folks like you and doing this podcast and so forth. So I appreciate you and encourage you to honor that intuition, even when it's hard.
Thank you.
And you know, I'm open as I sit here. I'm open and I even write in my journal. It's like, hey, you know, what's next? If something's next, I tend to keep getting excited about topics kind of within our field. And we just submitted a paper that is what I consider the best paper that we've ever written. I always collaborate. So to me, there's still such creative freedom, and it does feel very natural for me to do this. But one thing that I've always believed, too, is that the students are every bit as much of a teacher as I am. So when I enter that classroom, and I think they get this from me, too, is just that, oh, I'm here to learn from you, too. Yeah, I've got some knowledge and I'll share some stuff and I've got to meet these standards. And so I like to think they feel that. And I think some, like for me, I would like to do away with all grades. I heard recently that maybe one of my classes.
I gave, just to interrupt, I mean, yeah. I gave every single student an A. I just, well, it was just the way, I mean, look, if someone was really, if it was egregious, I would have acknowledged it. But, you know, I just feel that that's what they needed.
And that's what, I mean, that happens a lot in graduate school too. And plus, you know, we have a pretty stringent admissions screening process. So the folks that get to our program are hardworking, altruistic, sharp folks. And so I'm kind of like, hey, I always tell people I'm training counselors. I'm not teaching students. And I have real issues with perfectionism and rubrics for grading. You know, I like to be more of a feedback professor than I am a grading, you know, professor. And I also love to collaborate with students. That's been something that's been amazing. And I'm just like, I've just got through reading assignments this week, and I'm just like, it's a lot of work and my eyes are tired, but I'm like just fascinated by these folks and the just the cool experiences and stuff they come up with. So I hope that they feel that, and I think they do. But that still feels good. I still wake up excited. Yeah.
Well, I have no doubt that they feel that. I mean, you really embody all the qualities that I love in someone who is doing this work and serving in this role. I mean, and you know, and thank you for the kind words about me. Like, I definitely, you know, I interview lots of different people on this podcast, which is what has been this amazing expression of me, an expansive opportunity to bridge different gaps. Some of them are, you know, are medical doctors. Some of them are more within those institutions. And I interviewed someone recently who I think he used the word visionary, that I was on the spectrum. I was on the visionary side of the spectrum, continuing to push boundaries, and others were, you know, serving in their highest light. And I definitely see where I have no illusions about where I am on the spectrum, because that's what I needed for my own health. It became clear, and for my own passion. And when I hear you say that you still get so lit up by like topics within, you know, the clinical field, and that you love, you know, learning what your students have to say, like, I feel on a very foundational level, if we go toward what lights us up, we're going to be led true. Like, we're going to be led to where we're meant to be.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Because that's, you know, kind of what I heard you say and is experiencing. The more you can allow who you truly are to be in the world, the happier we are, which doesn't necessarily mean that everything's easy, but the happier we are, and you've increased the vibration of this place by doing that. So that's what I see therapy is about, is I want to know who you truly are, because when you look at how we've been conditioned and all the systems, mostly fear-based, to keep us controlled, I tell you what, Daniel, and I think your podcast is helping lead the way, is just that we're moving beyond that. And I think we're seeing that a lot of the ugly stuff is coming to the surface and is at the surface, and they are desperately grasping to keep control, and they're not. And I mean, this isn't a battle of whatever. It's like, no, you're losing. And I don't take pride. That sounds very judgmental. But what I am saying is, hey, shift towards the light here, because you're not going to make it, you know? Yeah. And all the different kind of metaphorical ways that can come about, but it's like, you're not going to make it. You're going to overcome.
I mean, there's so much what you just said there that I use so much of the language that you just used. Like, I resonate so deeply with all of it. I'll start by saying, like, that is really getting free of the conditioning is how we create more and more expansive possibilities for, let's say, the people we're serving, right? Like, because part of the reason I felt I needed to leave the more traditional clinical space and maybe not necessarily enter as a teacher in that form is because the natural and understandable conditions of an environment, of a diagnostic model, you know, I don't even necessarily use the word therapist for myself, but it's not to say that what I do isn't therapeutic. It's just that I'm just about getting free in labels. And if people, and I've said this before on you know, if people refer to me that way, that's fine. I don't really care. It's just what allows me to be free enough to serve in the healing arts and for other clinicians who maybe consciously or not feel beholden to the conditions, not only of their own trauma, which we all have, but the conditions of a diagnostic model, you know, sort of replaying out, well, this is as far as the, like you said, the treatment plan, you know, says you can go with depression, you know, and this is kind of how far, you know, we're inevitably going to bump up against the limitations of our own conditioning and the conditioning we're subscribing to. And if we're not aware of it, then we're just only going to be able to guide people as far as those conditions.
Exactly. Exactly. And I also want to honor, this is hard for me, by the way, so I'm going to say, I want to honor that everybody is at their developmental level and understanding, and they're doing exactly what they need here, even because I've gotten into studying, you know, a lot about dark triad traits and psychopathy, and I can go into that even though we don't need to, but
that could be another episode.
Yeah. But everybody is doing what they need. So there are going to be folks that are doing therapy in that very traditional way. And that's what they need to be doing right now. And there's going to be clients that really benefit from that type of therapy. What I see, and the term visionary that you use, is that there's always people that are going to be, what's next? What else is out there? What we don't need to be this boundaried and conditioned. And those are the ones, and not typically popular at the time.
Yeah.
Those are the ones.
Precisely. I'm experiencing a bit of that myself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and that's where I felt, it's not like something I try, but that's just, has always been where, as we talked about earlier, that lights me up. That's it. And I cannot not go to the stuff that lights me up, you know, and this is something, I don't know if you experienced this when you were in school, but I've heard this from, you know, the counseling programs are different from the psychology programs, and the psychology tends to be a very, I don't
know. There's a lot of ego.
There can be. Yeah. But I've heard somebody say, like, you've got to be kind of studying the same thing for 20 years. And even if you don't like it anymore, that's how you develop. And that's how you move the profession. And I was like, I don't think that's true.
No. Well, yeah. Because that, you know, so when I was firmly in the field, and when I was still having more healing experiences, like I described, I had was still really drinking the Kool-Aid. And again, I also just want to honor what you said, which I wholeheartedly agree. Like, we're all exactly where we're meant to be. And people who are serving through diagnostic models or whatever, that may be aligned for them. That may really still light them up creatively. If they're stuck, there's always the invitation to grow. But and people that may align for people who, because that can still be an awakening of sorts for some people who, you know, even just the word therapy or just any sort of healing is so far out of their family lineage that just having some, you know, more traditional forms of introduction can really be exactly what they need. So I wanna validate what you said, that for me, it's, you know, I'm still working on my ego and getting out of my own way and judgment. And, you know, in the beginning, it was a lot of, especially as a child, it was a lot of like pushing against systems. And then as I was invited to go my own way, it's like, oh, I don't have anything left to push against. So I better get humbled real quick. If I'm going to start putting myself out there in a way that's frankly really bizarre, who am I to judge what anyone else is doing?
Right.
And so that was part of my path, 100%. But I'll also say that really that the beautiful integration and the medicine of really being able to work from within those structures, but continuing to go toward what lights you up. Like you said, you can't help but go toward what lights you up, which to me is so clear that you are able to adaptively and healthily work within the systems that you can consensually participate in, because I was not going toward what I didn't even know what was lighting me up. And that goes back to myself as a kid. So it was so much more about ego and am I smart enough and am I good enough? And what I started out saying was, so I really bought into the Kool-Aid of psychoanalysis, and it's the same thing. It's like, oh yeah, you got your doctorate, great. Well, there's like 30 more trainings you need to go through that maybe when you're 70 you'll be an analyst. And I was like, what the fuck is that about? Like, how is that a thing? And like, half of this is kind of outdated anyway. Why are we killing ourselves to be good at, like, again, a lifelong learner, great, continuing to pursue and learn, great, but it's so clear that a lot of that is based in ego and like enoughness and being considered valid in the eyes of others in that world. So like continuing to do trainings from that place was not filling me up. And I just felt this wave, this heavy energy, like, are you really just going to keep getting degree for what? Like you, first of all, you're never going to know enough about psychoanalysis because the language is more confusing than an alien language, I think. And so it's also, and people, I feel, write papers just for other clinicians. It's not like clients are reading psychoanalytic papers going, oh yeah, my self objects and all kinds of, you know, I mean, I'm being a little bit dismissive. There's a ton of value there that I still appreciate and resonate with, and appreciate Freud, and I loved Winnicott, and there's plenty of people that I love in that area. But the culture that had developed around it was clearly a little stuck and could bend. I always said, like, if I created my own training program, I would just have people just like find 25 modalities in healing arts. I don't care what they're related to. I don't care if they're evidence-based or whatever. Just try 25 things. And like, if some of them work for you, like, I don't know, it's a good chance that it's worthy to pull that thread and see where it's going to take you. And because often what works for us tends to be things that we have to give to others.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. And it's, you know, a little bit like in my theories class, I have to scrunch it down to covering, I think we cover about 13 different theories. And I'm like, oh, what are the nuggets here? What are the nuggets? I spend very little time with the person who created the theory. I'm more interested in what is the nugget? How do you relate to it that could be used? So I like the idea, and that's what I do is, again, okay, we got a buffet here and you get to play with it. You get to decide and take a look at it. But another thing I'll say is that I come back to your courage of being able to say, hey, I just can't work within this system. And that's one thing I think about too within my system of academia is that's where I am now and today. And I got papers graded today. But that may not be where I'll be tomorrow. And I'm open to that. But I'm still waking up excited about stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's a good signal, right? Like, that's something I feel, to go back to what we were saying earlier, that's something the human mind can perceive. Like, excitement is a pretty good signal that we're on the right track.
I like that.
And yeah. And like, I'm definitely, well, this is the thing about how the intuition works for me is I do get a lot of visions and messages about where things are going for me. It's a little overwhelming for me because it frankly relates to like being a bridge for other, for ET beings and all kinds of communications and stuff that I don't know what to do with. I don't know. I'm finding places to like let that be in my consciousness while just continuing to live what's in front of me in my human physical existence and family and friends and not appear to lose my mind, although to some it's too late for that. But I do my best to stay open because I've already gone through iterations of what I would call transformation. I've gone through one right now, even after I, you know, took a big leap. So like, it does feel like the leaps just continue I'm not sure we arrive anywhere exactly.
No. But I think, you know, and particularly with you, you're trusting your intuition, you're connected to spirit, you're listening to this and cosmic intelligence, if you will. And you're probably, I suspect, building faith and confidence in 100%. That to where at the beginning, it was not that way. It may have been like, what in the world? And I also would suspect, Daniel, that you're moving into something that I've been working on a long time, is caring less what others think about us. And,
oh my God.
And we care deeply about others, but we can never be free if we care what people think about us. In this age of social media, I would... You know, if you ever ask, like, oh, would you like to go back and do this? I'm like, absolutely not. I'll do another iteration. But I've got a son and I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you exist in this world with all of this comparison culture and stuff? So, yeah. But anyway, you're developing that strength of recognizing, hey, I've got to just be me and I cannot care as much what people think about me. Yeah.
Well, thank you for saying all that. I honestly feel like I'm getting a free therapy session right now and I feel so validated. This is an amazing episode for me personally. Because
me too.
The people that I work with, you know, the clients I still have, and I think for them, I can be a source of conviction because I've been through some things, you know, people that come to me in pain and various other kinds of places on their own spiritual journeys. You know, I have taken some leaps and I have maybe I'm a little further on the path of conviction, but, you know, but I got my own stuff I'm up against that I'm continuing to, you know, that faith and that trust, at least where I'm at, you know, maybe some people get to places of consciousness where it's just a deep knowing at that point. But for me, there's stuff still coming up, bubbling up, fears, deep feelings around worthiness. And like you said, the comparison game, you know, my life path is quite different than most. And so it is, it's unfolding, but I will say, you know, to echo something that you had said earlier, like I wouldn't trade it because the conviction that I do have is truly, truly knowing, as humbling and dark as it can feel at times, that it is a medicine, that like this is growth. You know, people say that, you know, that this is a growth, this is growth oriented. Like I know it. I know it is. And that is something that, you know, is such a beautiful frame to hold, because if, you know, if we do feel our suffering is just either in vain or it's just playing out some pattern that we can't get free of, it leads to different places, you know, despair, hopelessness. Whereas, you know, as shadowy as it can be, like I do practice, you know, seeing the light of these invitations and where the benefits of getting free is allowing me to go.
Absolutely. And see, the people you work with feel that. You don't have to say anything. They feel that. And the people also that are listening to your podcast or on Instagram or whatever are getting that transmission of energy. You don't have to address them or call them by name. They know it. I and this is what I believe, is that they are getting that. And the fact that you've been through all this hard stuff, which I suspect you probably contracted for, so that you could then be.
Oh, it's in my astrology. It's in my numerology. It's everywhere. It's in the karmic path. It's
right. And so I want to thank you for that, because I know it's hard. I know it's hard to be here and to go through that. But I also want to thank you that you are helping heal and raise this vibration. And people are who even people that don't even ever, you know, contact you or in contact are benefiting from that presence, your presence.
Well, thank you so much for saying all that. I truly feel so validated right now. And
I hope it is a feeling, because I hope you see that what we're doing, because I like to think there's no other moment than right now. There's only one, but I hope you are like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. He's tapped into this. This isn't just like platitudes or whatever.
No. And I really feel that is something that is one essential component of this kind of path, however it may look, is being able to discern beyond the words, because people can say lots of different things, right? Like, and you could share what an intuitive said to you and someone would be like, oh, that was probably written on the back of a cereal box. And like, and it's like, it could be, sure. Like there's a spectrum of things that people say, like surely it wasn't wholly original, but we can start to learn a different method of discernment, which is not necessarily all intellectual, because again, the human mind isn't necessarily built to perceive truth from falsehood, but you can feel in the heart space, like if something is opening, and to answer your question, I 100% feel that. And I feel I have a pretty strong level of discernment about what kinds of information I let in, but this is, really, valuable for me. And that all of us can start to, honor that intuitive chord, that heart chord. Otherwise, we're just continuing to seek around and like what information seems to line up intellectually with what my brain can compute, and you're just going to be lost for seemingly ever.
Or exactly, you know, lost, or you're just kind of conditioned. You're just going with what people are telling you. And again, I want to honor everybody's developmental path and where they are. But I think the true healing and wisdom comes from really trusting intuition, opening up that heart space and paying attention to that, because everybody's got that capability. And once they start trusting that little small voice, then they start to recognize, oh, maybe I don't need this particular license or this other 30th certification that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Because I am very, I want to pursue stuff I'm passionate about. But when people line this up, like, well, you need this license and this, I'm like, oh my gosh.
It just creates so many barriers to entry, right? And your training.
It feels very fear-based. It feels fear-based. It feels ego involved. And I'm certainly there throughout the day, but that's just not my home base. Yeah.
Well, and it's also why I love that you are still excited about creating research, which was never one of my, you know, I mean, I think I would love collaborating with someone like you, but I...
And we may.
I'm leaving that door open, actually. We may develop a paper together. But I, you know, I wrote a dissertation, and like, for me, that was enough. But I, but I wrote it on... you know, something that was very personal to me, which was the label that I'd received, chronic fatigue syndrome, that, you know, I wrestled within this label for like 10 years, exploring all the boundaries of that and sort of the flimsiness of that, let's say. But you continue to inject your heart-led and intuitively guided wisdom into these topics, because I think some people try to draw a line in the sand between, no, there's evidence-based research, and then there's things that people are heart-led or guided to. But where do the ideas for the research come to? It's like, I still remember professors saying, well, you have to find a gap in the research. It's like, well, I guess, or you could just find what you're interested in.
Exactly.
And trust that you'll have something to give to it if it's of interest to you.
When I hear you, I'm just so appreciative of you, Daniel, because it must have been Rebecca Campbell's books where they talk about kind of different missions we're on or whatever. And I can't think of the one, but it does feel like you're one saying, no, we got to push farther here. We got to be open. And I'm like, we don't progress without folks like you. And I think I'm somewhat on that path, and maybe not fully. I'm a little bit more, maybe, I don't know. But I appreciate that you're
pursuing the nth degree of your and we're both going to keep growing. And I am sure that I have full trust, faith, and conviction that our connection was divinely aligned and timed.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know we're already at the end of our time, but I trust this will not be the last time that we will be speaking on the podcast or otherwise, because there is no doubt more for us to unfold for each other and for whoever is ready to receive it.
Oh, and I trust that too. I mean, you know, I trust our connection, and I trust that the people that need to hear this will at the time they need to hear it.
100%. 100%. Yep. So there's a lot more I could ask you, but I'll rein things in. Because there's a lot of things I was curious about. I'll just name the things I was curious about just to satisfy myself and then rein it in, which is you just poking at, you mentioned some things like dark triad and psychopathy. And immediately when off in my brain was when we start to let go, there's a reason we have categories in diagnostics, and it helps us make sense of the world. So when we start to let go of that, as I have, we still have questions about like, well, what is darkness? Like, what are shadows? Like, why do people play out? And I have some of a larger perspective, like a soul mapping perspective of why we do those things. But, you know, I think there can definitely be deeper ways to explore, like, why some of us choose, so to speak, relatively choose to play out different aspects of the human experience. So that's one thing that struck me. The other thing was Yeah, I was just, I mean, you were pulling Oracle cards before we got on. Like, I'm curious about your practices, your spiritual practices, because I imagine you've collected a few, not just intellectually, but personally for yourself. But maybe we'll save those for another topic now that I've just said them. And I'll just wrap things up, because we actually didn't even get into your YouTube channel either, because I actually had a lot of curiosity about that. You have a lot, I mean, you have a lot of followers, at least to me. I mean, in the YouTube world, you know, whatever, people have all different levels of exposure, but it seems pretty popular to me. And yeah, we didn't even get into that a ton. But just to wrap things up here, I'll just invite you to share anywhere people can find you if you'd like them to.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to have to schedule another one, man.
And anything else you'd like to say, really?
Well, again, I do appreciate this time. This has been a nice way to end a very long week. But yeah, I mean, I'm on YouTube. I don't know how to get there. Russ Curtis.
I'll put it in the show notes. For sure. Yeah. I'll direct people there.
I just opened up Threads. My Instagram account is private, but Threads is public. Just because I love this saying that to be enlightened is to lighten up, and I fully resonate with that. I did open up an Instagram that's public called @bougiepawpaw. So, as I get older and all that kind of stuff, so it's just for fun, and I just now created that. But those places people can reach me, and I enjoy kind of interacting with folks on YouTube and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of.
Just curious, what is the bougie pop? Is that like bougie dogs?
You know what I created this just for fun, and it made me laugh. So I was like, oh, I'm going to create this account, but it's here's the title: skincare, fashion, and extreme beauty. and I have no idea what I'm going to post, but it was just like, I just wanted to make people laugh. And I do, I was like, oh, wow, I don't know if any older men are doing like all these makeup and skincare kind of things. So it's like, I'm just going to have some fun. I haven't posted a thing yet. It's more fun right now. So who knows what's going to show up? Yeah.
Well, in service of being a creator, because that has been a part of my journey, is owning our archetypes as a creator, as creators, you know, as you know, and whatever, however that looks to you, just starting to express and create more, which I wasn't doing a whole lot of when I was so holding so tightly on to being smart enough in one particular way. I love it, and I support it, and all that will go in the show notes for people to find you, because they certainly should, or I would highly recommend it. And with that, this has been a real honor and pleasure, Russ, and so valuable for me personally. I trust it will be valuable to others as well. And I will look forward to seeing and talking to you again soon.
Likewise. Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks for listening. If you like the episode, please subscribe, leave a review, or head over to my Patreon page to become a member of the Be the Vessel community with exclusive monthly benefits and to connect with me directly. You may also find me on Instagram at DrDaniel_Atkins or through my website, DrDanielAtkins.com, where you can also subscribe to my newsletter to stay updated on all happenings. I'd love to hear from you. Until then, may you be the light, the frequency, and the vessel for your highest vision.